Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, from the verse number 56 and on. In the verse number 56, I read that Mary abode with her, with Elizabeth and Zechariah, about 3 months, and then returned to her own house. I believe that these 3 months for Mary and also for Elizabeth, and I would hope for the priest Zacharias as well, were the months of encouragement, enjoying one another's company, praising the Lord, and looking forward to the glorious future when the Word of God is going to shine brightly and sound forth all over the land of Judea and Galilee, and a new era will start, and the people that are in darkness will see a great bright light of God's truth and revelation, and the door of salvation be open to the Gentiles as well. Just a glorious, marvelous time they had, I believe, together for these 3 months, and then it was just about the time for the birth of John the Baptist, so Mary returned back to her home in Nazareth. Now, during these 3 months, the change in Mary's body was visible. It couldn't be hidden anymore, and so as soon as she returned back, Joseph could have noticed that Mary is pregnant, and for Mary to explain to Joseph what happened could have been a very difficult task, because for an engaged girl to explain something to her engaged husband-to-be or to become, who might be suspecting something or wondering, doubting, and so on, it's a very difficult task. However, the Lord has spared Mary of that difficulty, and in Matthew chapter 1, from the verse number 18 to the end of that chapter, we can find how the Lord dealt with Joseph, and we can find out there that Joseph was a wonderful, godly man, and the Lord used a method just as wonderful as the Lord only can to open the eyes of Joseph and to make him aware that Mary's pregnancy in no case means any kind of faithlessness or dishonesty or corruption of any kind in Mary's life, but rather the opposite, to the responsibility of becoming the husband of a godly young woman. Joseph had added blessing and added responsibility of becoming the caretaker, the legal guardian, and lawful or parent according to the law of the Jews, should I say adopted father to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the birth of the child until his adult years. And so with this verse number 56 in Luke 1, we parted from Mary, and we are not going to see her again in Luke's presentation of the Gospel until the beginning of the chapter 2. With the verse number 57, we are back with Elizabeth and her family, and we follow the story as it is unfolding here. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. An elderly woman that never had children brought forth her first son according to the news delivered to the priest Zacharias by the angel Gabriel. And not only this conception and this pregnancy, but also this birth is quite a miracle that God has performed to signify that something new, something great, something wonderful is going to happen after many years of silence. She brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Amazing thing. This old saint of the Old Testament, in the closing times of the Old Testament era, is rejoicing in something that many, many women would be very much afraid of, giving birth to a child in their old age. She rejoiced because she believed in God, who has given her grace and power to serve in this ministry so unique, so special, and so blessed and wonderful. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they, probably the relatives and close friends, they called him, the newborn child, Zacharias, after the name of his father. After all, Zacharias had no other heir. This is just a miraculous birth of his first and last child. So naturally, for a Jew, or in this case a Levi, it would be expected and supposed that the child will be named after his father, Zacharias the Second. But no, he was not Zacharias the Second, he was John the First. His mother answered to the relatives and close friends, "Not so, no, no. He shall be called John." All this time, Zacharias cannot speak. He is still under the rebuke of the angel Gabriel because of Zacharias' disobedience and disbelief. And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." How strange, Elizabeth, why would you call him John? There is no such a name in your family. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. So there is the sign language, because he cannot talk. And just by this verse, I would think he cannot hear either. They didn't talk to him, they made signs to him. And he asked for a writing table and wrote this word, "His name is John." It's so wonderful that a man who just could not accept the calling of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord obey, after being deaf for almost a year, is much more prepared to hear the voice of the Spirit of God than before that. Perhaps this has something to do with the advice, or maybe even commandment or teaching of the Lord, that said, when you pray, you get closed into your closet, have complete isolation from the rest of the world, and pray to your Heavenly Father sincerely, openly, not paying attention what the people will say, what the other think that you think that they think, and so on. No, 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 none of that. Have a straight, open, sincere, respectful, reverential, but direct relationship in your prayer with your Heavenly Father. So Zacharias is asking for a writing table, probably a little plate, and he wrote saying, "His name, the babe's name, is John. Not shall be, will be, but is." There is no other name but the name that the angel has told Zacharias as the name of the child to be born. I imagine that the people that were gathered there at the time of circumcising the child, were mostly in priests, and most of their relatives were priests anyway. And after this very appropriate testimony of Zacharias as the father of the child and the husband of Elizabeth, their relatives, their friends, the priests, were surprised. They marveled. They wondered, why? How come? And that tells me one thing, that when the Lord is doing something that the people are not expecting, the more we are in the routine performance of the ministry and the procedures that we are used to and that are part of our life, that are our habits, the less we are prepared for something new, for some wonderful, unexpected work of the Spirit of God. I think it would be interesting at this moment to look into the meaning of the names of all three, Zacharias and Elizabeth and John, in the Hebrew languages, because so often the names of the Israelites were significant of their place in the history and the perspective of their work, their ministry, and perhaps even in a general term of their lives. The name Zacharias means in Hebrew language, Jehovah has remembered. He is not a forgetful God. What he promises, he is going to fulfill. He is the God that remembers. He has perfect and endless memory. And then the name of Elizabeth means the God of oath, the God of the holy promises, the God of the holy covenant. And then John means wait on the Lord, wait in hope, do not give up, be patient and trust the Lord, just wait. So what do we have here from these parents? Jehovah has remembered, and God of the holy promises, an encouragement to his people to wait on the Lord. He is coming, and he is coming soon. Now, by the time that John was entering into his public ministry, that, by the way, was very short, it seems that both of his parents have been passed into eternity. And so we can add additional meaning to these names. Even if what Jehovah has remembered seems to be not visible anymore, fading into the past times, even if the covenant of God and his holy promises have been almost forgotten and just about neglected and distrusted by so many people, the public ministry of John just started. And that is telling us, in such a time as that, wait on the Lord, wait in hope, do not give up, be patient, trust in the Lord, and wait. After Zacharias gave his testimony, confirmation of the words of his wife, instantly he was rewarded for being faithful. The time of his disciplining or suffering consequences of his distrust, unbelieving the message of God through the angel Gabriel, that time has been ended. It's past. Now Zacharias is coming out into the open with a new gift and a new life and a new testimony. In the verse number 64 we read, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed or freed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. They sensed the presence of the Lord, and the power of the Lord working in all these changes, all these miracles." And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Of course, the priests are talking to the priests, and in every major community there are some priests, and then the priests are talking to the believers, to other Israelites, and the news is spreading very rapidly until it come to Jerusalem. There are the chief priests that are going to oppose everything that God is doing among his people. All they that heard these words and this news that happened in the hill country, all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him, with the child. And his father Zacharias at this time was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Such a marvelous, wonderful, exciting and delightful prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord through the priest and now the prophet Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. When we look deeper into these verses, we can see a deep meaning of this prophecy, of this song, this praise to the Lord. He starts with the words, "Blessed the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." How did God visit his people? Through the angel Gabriel. And from what did God redeem his people? The children of Israel sold themselves into sin and slavery. What did they gain? What did they exchange? The blessing and prosperity and the favor and the grace of God upon them. They gave all of that for their sinful lusts and evil intentions. And then Zacharias says now that God, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Now, the Redeemer has not come yet into public. Actually, the Redeemer has not been born yet. It's going to happen about 6 months later. But Zacharias is prophesying, looking into the future and remembering the old promises of God. And Zacharias says, He, the Lord God of Israel, hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. That's where the Redeemer is coming from. Zacharias is not prophesying about his son John. Zacharias is not prophesying about the priests, the sons of Levi, or the sons of Aaron, but rather prophesying about the Redeemer, the horn of salvation that is in the house of David, his servant, the promised seed of Abraham. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, his holy prophets, God's holy prophets, had been since the world began. Yes, Abel, the one that offered an offering to the Lord God Almighty, an offering that was acceptable, that was confirmed by the Lord, the one that has been slain, murdered by his own brother Cain, the first martyr for the holy faith into the Lord God Almighty, he was a prophet. That's a prophecy, that's a testimony. But then short time after that, few generations down the road, Enoch prophesied, the Lord is coming. And then many others. Noah was a prophet of God, building the ark and proclaiming the will of the Lord and heralding the righteous judgment of God and the wrath against the corruption and filth and absolute awful rebellion of the people against the will of the Lord their God. And many others. Abraham was a prophet, and to him the promise was given again. So we can hear the promises of old being repeated by the prophets. And now Zacharias is prophesying, the Lord has fulfilled that. He has raised to us a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David. Zacharias knows that Mary is pregnant and her child is going to be born, and that child is the Son of the Almighty God. And then after the father Abraham, and after the servant of God Moses, a great and marvelous prophet of God, the prophets were coming and coming and coming, and even though their messages and their prophecies are not identical, they all have that main line and the same main direction toward the birth of a great Redeemer, toward the coming of a mighty Messiah, toward the appearance of a king whose kingdom will never end. And one part of the prophecies in the times of the people of God Israel, and after coming out of the land of Egypt, part of that message is that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Even Moses prophesied in the law about that. If you obey the Lord your God, you are going to be above all the nations. But if you violate the law of God, if you disobey the Lord your God, if you turn away after the idols, then you are going to be scattered in all the nations. Now Zacharias is remembering by the Spirit of the Lord the promises of old, that we should be saved. God hath promised that He is going to deliver us, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. And what is a wonderful, magnificent part of that promise, that in the seed of Abraham all the nations shall be blessed. And now that promise is being fulfilled, and it's just a matter of a short time, and Mary is going to give birth to a child that is going to be the Son of the Almighty God. And then Zacharias is continuing the prophecy, saying, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, God will grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Where did God ever promise something like that to father Abraham? I think this is revealing not only the prophecy or the testimony of the Holy Spirit through Zacharias, but also Zacharias' priestly knowledge of the history of the children of Israel, and Zacharias' clear understanding of the old prophecies. Remember when Abraham had that dream in the night when he offered sacrifices, and Abraham was in a great fear in the dark night, and the Lord talked to Abraham and said, know thou for sure that thy seed will be in the land of Egypt 400 years, and then I will deliver them after their slavery. I don't repeat the prophecy exactly. Perhaps I should take a moment and look it up. Here it is in Genesis 15. I am reading from the verse number 10. And he, Abraham, took unto him all these, the sacrifices that the Lord has commanded him, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he, that is the Lord, said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. The strangers, the other nation, will afflict Abraham's seed, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Euphrates unto the great river, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then the Lord listed the nations of whom he already made his judgment that he is going to destroy them at the time of Israelites coming into the land of the promise, led by Joshua, the man of God. So now that is the part and the meaning of this part of Zacharias' prophesying. The oath which he swore, God swore, to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Now, these are the promises, and some of these promises had been fulfilled in the days of Saul, the first king, and David, the first faithful king, and Solomon, the most prosperous king in Israel. But now, what about that prophecy now? The Holy Spirit is using the old prophecies through Zacharias the priest to tell us nowadays, I believe, that the time is coming when these promises and these blessings are going to be fulfilled, when the mission, the work of our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, our King of Kings, is going to be fulfilled, and we will be in the heavenly promised land, far away from the presence of sin and temptations, forever delivered out of the hand of all our enemies and our arch enemy Satan, far away from the temptations and testings and trials, far away from the presence of sin, to serve the Lord, to worship Him, to glorify His name in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives, all the time of eternity. And then Zacharias is turning to the child that had been born, that is being circumcised here, and named John, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. These are so beautiful, wonderful, marvelous words. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. The knowledge of salvation unto God's people by the remission of their sins. So by the remission of sins comes the knowledge of salvation, experience of salvation. And then, through the tender mercy of our God. What do we read about that salvation, about the remission of sins? No credit to us whatsoever, but by the mercy, tender mercy, loving kindness of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring. There is a wonderful blessing coming as the sunrise on the east. The day spring from on high has visited us. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is just around the corner. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh my, it's so wonderful. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so, at that time, many of our ancestors, the old Slavs, and the old German people, and Saxon people, and most of the European nations, not to mention the other continents, North and South America, Africa, Australia, most of our ancestors were savages, the people living in total darkness. And these people that were so-called civilization of that time, Roman, Greek people, Hebrew people, they lived in darkness, awful darkness. At this time, at the time of this prophecy of the priest Zacharias, the high priests or the chief priests in Jerusalem were as corrupted as ever. And the Pharisees were as hypocritical as ever, and the people, the masses of Jews and the other remnants of the other tribes that were among the Jews, they lived in ignorance and darkness as ever before. But at such a time, the day spring from on high hath visited the mankind to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he is going to guide our feet into the way of peace, even today. Whoever believed the word of God, whoever sought the mercies of this God of all mercies, has found. And whoever knocked at the door of his grace hath got that grace open to him. And whoever was asking for mercy and salvation in Christ received that. And blessed is he, the Lord himself said, who is not offended in me, who is not looking into the scriptures to find self-justification and accusation against the God of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Promises, the God of the Holy Covenant, who finds in the Scripture self-condemnation and the promise of God's mercy, and then cast himself at the feet of this Savior, shall receive this marvelous salvation. For even today he is giving the light to those that are living in the shadow of death. And he is the one that can guide every feet into the way of peace. Together with the priest Zacharias, we can join our voices in a praise to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our great enemy, the devil, that we should be saved from our sins, from the power of sin, that he will perform the mercy promised to our fathers, that he remembers and still is accelerating his holy covenant, and the promises given to our father Abraham are still being fulfilled upon those that trust and obey the Son of God. And he is still granting us deliverance from all evil, that without the fear of the final judgment and the just judgment of God, we can serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our pilgrimage. Holiness and righteousness not our own, but the one bestowed upon us through Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our blessed Redeemer, our Lord and Savior. All of this through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.